Question 122. Know ye what I have done to you? John 13:12. So after he had washed their feet, and had taken his garments, and was set down again, he said unto them, Know ye what I have done to you? The government of the coming new kingdom was a matter of concern for Christ. Mankind has a tendency to set one man above another and form hierarchy that eventually is better described as a food chain. Look at any endeavor of man on any level, and one will immediately notice that there are those who seek to be in charge and those who seek someone to be in charge. We look to be led, and we usually find it. The job usually goes to those who seek it, for there's few who will accept the heaviness of responsibility for the fleeting reward of leadership and notoriety. For all this, we have no lack of volunteers. There's always someone seeking to be above another, someone who gains a sense of worth from leadership. There's always one who finds the profit in being a leader more enticing than the load of responsibility. But we must ask, are these the ones we want to lead us? Jesus was not uncertain when it came to choosing leaders. He had a plan to find and choose leaders, and he had a plan for those wishing to be chief to follow. The plan is so unpopular that it is seldom read, and much less is it used. But Jesus called them unto him and said, Ye know that the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them, and they that are great exercise authority upon them. But it shall not be so among you. But whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister. And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and give his life a ransom for many. Here, Jesus makes it plain that the path to greatness is not what we may have thought. The Gentiles' political system placed men over men, and they exercised their authority over each other. But above them is yet another authority, the one who placed them there, who exercised their power over their subordinates. What is the difference in the system Jesus criticizes and the politics of most any church one will find on Main Street, USA? How did we get under the control of men in our Christian faith? How did we come to totally ignore the direct command of our Lord, "It shall not be so among you"? If you were to visit the average church to find the pastor whom you did not know, would we be able to find him by the description laid out in Scripture? The portrayal in Scripture of the one we seek would lead us on a reverse course in most cases, away from the prominent, the best dressed, the center of attention. The pastor we would find who fits the sketch that Jesus drew for us would not be the one whose feet are washed, but the one who washes feet. As he taught them this hard lesson, he asked, Know ye what I have done unto you? Even by example and demonstration, Jesus, acting out the humility necessary for a man to enter the service of God, he was not sure that his disciples understood. Know ye what I have done unto you? They did not understand. We do not understand. Looking around ourselves at the hierarchy and the exaltation of men in our churches, we have no good answer for the Savior. He asked, Know ye what I have done unto you? To which we must answer, No, we must not understand, for we've not followed your example at all. The truth is that if we went into First Whatever Church, Main Street, downtown USA, and followed the Bible definition of a leader, we would likely identify the janitor as pastor, and not the hairdo and suit that stands each Sunday to pontificate. We've missed entirely the political structure of the church. We cannot find our system of organization described anywhere but in condemning words of Christ in Scripture. We toy with words and create offices and positions for men and women never intended by Christ. Do we really think that Jesus Christ intended to leave us in the hands of men to teach us and guide us to our eternal home, or lead us toward righteousness with which they themselves struggle and never attain? Jesus never intended to be an absentee friend who used men as mouthpieces to convey his message to his brethren. His intention was to fill us with the fully capable Holy Spirit to guide us to perfection and holiness. Instead, we sought out men who were willing to forego God's plan of writing the law in our inward parts and were willing to teach us, and we let them do so. We gave them the title of pastor from a remote and obscure word that appears once in the New Testament, the very definition of which in our modern day is one having spiritual charge over a congregation or spiritual overseer, and set him above the rest, and look to him as we should look only to the living Christ. Our modern definition is flawed. The office is corrupted, and the meaning of the word has migrated and mutated to describe a man who is in diametric opposition to its original meaning. Jesus told us to seek to be servants in order to find prominence. We found the prominent who seek to be served. These leaders ironically preach to us about what's wrong with the church today, when the entire structure of guidance, leadership, and oracle has been handed to fallible men. It's no great wonder what's wrong with the church today. Jesus taught plainly, verbally, by symbol, and by example, that he was to be the head of the church. There is to be no intermediary, no arbiter, no mediator, no intercessor. The ones who find a place of eldership or honor are to find it only through service to the brethren. They are to take the lowest seat and be called higher. They are to be servants. They are to wash feet. As Jesus was about to leave this world, he stood and girded himself with a towel. Then he made his way around the table with a basin of water, washing feet, just as the lowest of servants would do. Peter even balked at his idea, for it put Christ in such a humiliating position. Jesus moves along the table on his knees. In our minds, we can see Christ on his knees, after having washed feet that would in a few moments carry this man to receive 30 silver coins from the enemies of Christ. Even knowing this, he humbled himself, he served, he washed. We can see him sitting back on the floor with his hands still moist, wiping them with the towel, looking into his friends' faces and asking, "Do you know what I have done to you? I have shown you the way to the top." We prefer our way, though. We know that we prefer our way because, for the most part, it's the way we have gone. We would never make the janitor our pastor, nor would we desire to hear his lowly opinion. We want men to whom we can aspire. We want men who are achievers, intelligent, and sure. By and large, pastors of our choosing are not less than we, as they are instructed to be. They are greater. They're not servants. They're served. While the janitor, the parking lot attendant, or the woman who cleans the building during the week is, by Christ's standard, more qualified to lead us, we honor the one who has a personal parking place. Considering and answering Jesus' question, sadly, many of us say, "No, We do not know what he did when he washed the disciples' feet. Although he showed us a way to eliminate multiple problems in our meetings and churches, although he laid out a flawless plan of determination and recognition of elders, we missed his message. Just as Israel did when they chose a king to rule them instead of God, the modern church has chosen rather the way of the nations around them and rejected God's plan to be our pastor himself. We must say that we do not understand his example, for we have not implemented his plan for leadership or for organization. We must answer, "No, Lord," when he asked, "Do you know what I have done to you?"